Hey, you're listening to Met Radio 1280 AM in Toronto. Earlier this week, we aired the winners of our 24-hour radio challenge. And today, we're bringing you the runners-up. From March 1st to 2nd, Intrepid Radio Makers worked around the clock to produce a piece of radio in just 24 hours. The only rules were that it had to be original, it had to be 3 to 6 minutes long, and it had to be inspired by this theme. Everything old is new again. The final scores were almost too close to call, and even though these productions didn't quite eke out a win, they weren't far behind. We're really excited to share them with you today on air. First up, we've got a piece for all the true crime lovers out there. This is The Three Circle Killer.
It has been a month since the seventh victim has been found of what people are calling the Three Circle Killer, tied together by the gruesome carvings of three overlapping circles on the torso of every victim. The killer has not been found, but for now, no bodies or missing people have been reported.
Lucien, stop listening to that stuff and come help me with the dishes.
Camille, I'm recording my podcast. You just interrupted.
You're a little too obsessed with these killings, dude.
It has been 2 weeks since the resurgence of the Three Circles Killer. Last night, a third body was found with the infamous symbol carved into their chests.
Oh my god. Lucien, not everything is some true crime story to be solved.
These were your friends, Camille. Don't you want to know what happened?
Exactly. Lucien, it's real. This isn't some game.
All victims have belonged to the same church choir. My first suspect, Mr. Perrin, the choir director.
Possible homicide report at 16th Lane Street, off John and Newham. Body is young, female, 24, possibly connected to the ongoing murders. Three circles carved into chest.
Listeners, we have a new lead. A body has been found, and I'm going to investigate firsthand.
Where are you going?
Nowhere.
Ugh, I know what you're doing. I'm coming so you don't do anything stupid. Lucien, you can't.
Come on, we gotta go inside the house and see the body.
We actually don't, but... Wait!
We have found the site of the murder. The body has been taken, but we have identified it as... Camille, what was her name again?
Ella Manson.
She was in choir with you, right?
Yeah.
This further proves my theory of Mr. Perrin resurrecting the mantle of the Three Circles Killer.
We gotta go.
Hi.
We have listened back to a recording.
We?
Hey, podcast listeners, I have nothing to do with you freaks. I just live here.
Anyway, I found something interesting in the background. If I just enhance and mess with the EQ. This reminded me of something I heard listening back to the tapes from the 1920s. It wasn't clear at first, but with this modern technology, we can uncover this.
This is weird, dude. What does 12th century Gregorian chants have to do with anything?
Oh, Camille, I love you. This is why I keep you around. How do you know this stuff?
We study this stuff in choir sometimes. Mr. Perrin likes to connect our town to its medieval history.
Aha! Listeners, I have a new lead. I'm here in the old hamlet ruins of our town, Jonchester. I think it could have some clue to all this. Camille, thoughts?
I'm literally just here so you don't get your idiot self killed.
Well, let's split up and look for clues.
I just heard Camille scream.
Lucien! It's him!
Mr. Perrin? How? But I thought he was the killer.
Well, he's not. And now he's dead.
Are you blaming me?
What? No!
You know, it's a little suspicious how all these people were in your choir. And how you're constantly trying to stop me from investigating.
You can't be serious, Lucien.
I can't believe I didn't see it sooner. It seems that Mr. Perrin is not the murderer, based on the fact that he became the Three Circle Killer's fifth victim. But listeners, I have failed you. Because the biggest suspect of all was right in front of me, living with me, and I didn't see it. The murderer was my best friend Camille.
What?
Is this the residence of Camille Martin?
Yeah, I'm her roommate.
I'm sorry to tell you that she has been found dead.
Is she another victim of the...
Yes. I'm sorry for your loss.
How could I be so wrong? What am I missing? What if...
A complete history of medieval tragedies. Yeah, this one. I never looked in here. Listeners, in the 12th century, there are drawings of dead corpses with the three circle symbol carved into their chests. And in the 1600s, this book of Renaissance paintings depicts bodies with the same symbol. How did this keep happening? This doesn't make any sense.
That was Three Circle Killer, produced by Jinqua, Kaylee, and John Michael for Met Radio's 24-hour radio challenge. Next up, when's the last time you watched a VHS? This next piece, called In Search of Clunkiness, will have you longing for analog.
Everything old is new again.
Most of my friends were born in the mid to late 90s, young enough to have watched our first movies on VHS, pressing our noses to crackling CRT screens, but old enough to have bought our first albums on CD and had a Netflix account when it still had anything worth watching on it. My name is Logan.
I'm Percy.
With producer Danny.
And we are in pursuit of clunkiness.
This year, on New Year's Eve, we struggled to find the 2002 masterpiece, Charlie's Angels, on a streaming service. In our exasperation, we declared 2025 the year of physical media.
Every time I look up a movie now, it's on the weirdest platform you've ever heard, like Tubi or Fubo or Bing Bong Plus. I don't want to sign up for a free trial of Gulpo TV. I just want to watch a movie.
It's maybe funny for a group of people in their late 20s and early 30s to self-identify as Luddites, but that's the vibe. This rising tension between users and services is driving people our age to return to physical, or slow media.
For a friend's birthday this year, they got a CRT TV. A heavy old clunker with an integrated VHS. Our movie selection was limited to some prized VHS tapes from early childhood, a handful of survivors that never made it to Value Village when the original VHS era ended. She selected the 1994 Disney classic, The Lion King. Together, we relived the ritual of rewinding the tape, then watching the blue FBI anti-piracy PSA before we got to the good stuff.
Coming soon on video and DVD.
We had to leave the party before the movie was over, but something about the viewing experience compelled us to finish The Lion King when we got home. We turned on our HD flat-screen TV and through the magic of streaming, scrubbed the exact minute we had left off. But very quickly, it was clear that the charm was gone. The sound and the image were too crisp and the colors too pure, untempered by the unifying glow of the CRT. Is there something real going on here, or are we just longing for a simpler time? Is the value of a VHS tape driven entirely by nostalgia?
I think there's something more to it. Where picture quality has increased year over year, we still choose to release movies at 24 frames per second. Despite our ability to increase that number, people still prefer a more cinematic look. 4K streaming is a visual feast of newly perceptible details. This is useful for things like live sports, where you can direct your attention to the minute details that matter, but sometimes we want a curated experience. Rather than getting lost in the HD close-up of an actor's every pore, we can let the soft blur of VHS guide our eyes to take in the whole image. Like lower frame rates, lower resolutions can also be more cinematic.
There's also value to actually owning the media you watch. A VHS or DVD on your shelf can't be taken away, edited, or changed.
Say you're convinced to dust off an old VHS player or raid your parents' shelf of old DVDs. Physical media is not all upside. Famously, things take up space, and lots of it. Space we might not have to give in the modern shoebox apartment.
Producer Danny, you read almost everything as an ebook, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't have the space on my bookshelf for every book that I read. So instead, I read a book digitally, and if I really like it, I thrift it or buy it to add to a collection of deliberately curated physical objects.
In my day job as a librarian, I'm acutely aware that all media takes up space. Even digital media still lives in a physical space. It's on a server somewhere. But it's not space we need to have.
That's good.
But it means we don't get to control what happens to it.
What do you mean? I still paid for it.
When you buy a streaming movie somewhere like Amazon or YouTube, you are not buying a copy of the movie. You are buying a non-transferable license to watch the movie they host on their server. This can lead to things like movies you think you own being removed, edited, or changed after you've bought them.
Like how all the versions of the original Star Wars trilogy on streaming have the awful remastered CGI elements. To watch the original cut of the movie, you need to own an old VHS or DVD.
It doesn't matter if a company goes under or a different company buys the streaming rights for a digital version of the movie you bought. Your physical copy is firmly yours.
So if I want to keep all my media safe, I should own it all? And I've heard that improperly storing things like VHSs can lead to mold. What if there's a fire?
While it might seem practical, nothing is a permanent storage solution. Both digital and physical media are at risk of degrading or becoming obsolete. While I find this frustrating in my day-to-day life, it's also something I think about in my professional life as a librarian. Trying to anticipate and prepare for the unknown, and to work to make sure that vital media is not lost forever. A term we use in the library world as an answer to this problem is, lots of copies keep stuff safe. Essentially, preservation copies of an item need to be geographically distributed, and ideally have a mix of both physical and digital formats to have the best chance of survival. We have to resist the idea that any one tech innovation will be the standard forever, and that any one location won't become vulnerable at some point. In other words, everything new is old eventually.
Our advice for the physical media revival is to sample digital, then purchase physical. Keep your subscription to Fringo TV Plus, but check your local thrift store for tapes that speak to you.
We get to decide what piece of media is important enough for us to own a copy of, so that there is never any doubt we have access to it.
When we watched an old VHS tape at a birthday party, we initially thought we were just reveling in a bit of fun nostalgia. Instead, we saw an old video format considered obsolete and let it breathe new life into our media consumption.
Hold your friends close and your VHS player closer. Thanks for listening.
That was Danny, Logan, and Percy with their piece, In Search of Clunkiness. Our next radio challenge entry comes from our producer, longing for spring, which is something I'm sure we can all relate to right now. This is The Bloom.
The first snowfall fell quietly, covering the streets in a soft blanket of white. That was my first experience of snow. So excited. The trees stripped bare, reached towards the sky in this gentle winter, my story begins. Yami sat by her window with a warm cup of black coffee. Outside, snowflakes danced and melted against the glass, like small fleeting hopes. In her heart, Dami felt that life had frozen too. In the fall of last year, she quit her job, and soon after, most of her relationships ended. She made a life-changing decision. She left Australia, a country that shaped most of her adult years. She arrived in Canada last year, a place where she grew. Australia, a place where she built friendships, embraced opportunities, and found pieces of herself. She left it all behind for the unknown, a blank slate in Canada. The flight here was of a mixed emotions, fear, excitement, and a whole lot of doubt. What if this is the biggest mistake of your life? Why are you leaving everything you know? These questions played over and over in her mind. But deep down, she knew she had to take this leap. She wasn't sure it was the right decision, but it felt necessary. Now, the long winter mirrored her loneliness. It mirrored all her fears. Every day blended into the next. Mornings were as dark as evenings, and the days felt endless. She spent her time crying, sleeping, journaling, trying to make new friends. On most days, buried in deep thoughts, buried in work. Oh, did I say she got a new job too? She had no reason to complain, or so she told herself. It seemed as if the winter chills would never leave her heart. It ached. It hurts. But nature, in its quiet wisdom, knows how to heal. It never rushes the process. Slowly, a change began. One day, sometime last week actually, the sun lingered in the sky a little longer, bathing the snow in a soft golden light. Ice began to crack on the rooftops, and droplets of water formed as if the earth was stirring awake from a deep sleep. and then birds returned their gentle songs, carrying a promise of hope. I started to notice the subtle shifts. One chilly morning, I stepped outside and felt the cool, damp mud under my feet. It was messy and cold, but it was a sign that life was returning. With each step, a small spark of hope warmed my heart. I began to take daily walks. I missed my walks, started to feel the earth beneath me, and slowly I dared to believe in new beginnings. Slowly I started to see the rainbow appear. And then on one crisp morning, as the world was emerging from winter, on one of my walks I saw a tiny purple flower pushing its way through the melting ground. It looked gorgeous, very delicate, but yet it was determined. That little bloom I saw was a clear sign. Everything old can become new again. Winter has a way of stripping away what was old, and it did. But it did not leave me empty. Instead, it made a space for renewal. I've now realized that the cold, dark days were not a punishment. It wasn't the end of me or the world, but a necessary pause in life's endless cycle. It was a season. I call it my season. They prepare the ground for growth, for change, for new beginnings. Just as the earth wakes from winter, so too can my heart find the strength to bloom once more. Thank you for joining me on this journey of hope. Even at the end of winter, as I speak to you now, the promise of spring, the excitement for spring, and the promise for summer is also just around the corner. It reminds me that everything old will become new again, and so will my heart heal from all the aches and pains I felt in the last month of winter. Thank you.
That was The Bloom, produced by Dami Ayeni. Today on Met Radio, we're sharing pieces from the 24-hour radio challenge. This final piece exceeds the 6-minute time limit by a little bit, but if you're at all into sound art, you'll want to make sure you stick around for the full runtime. This piece takes its name from the challenge theme, Everything Old is New Again.
Everything Old is New Again is a song written by Peter Allen and Carol Bayer Sager in 1974. I danced to the song at age 5 in my very first dance recital, performing a tap dance with the rest of my class. It was a cute routine with gold sequin bowler hats and canes, a real ragtime kind of feel. I enjoyed taking dance class and continued to do so throughout my childhood. While taking dance classes had its positive points, such as the challenge of memorizing a series of steps and improving one's skill, there were definitely some negative aspects to being in a class and on stage for all to see and sometimes judge as a young girl and teenager in a leotard that displayed the body and all of its features and sometimes faults. Thinking of these experiences brought back many memories and complex emotions around growing up in the 80s as a girl and how women were viewed, the pressures and expectations at the time to conform, to attempt to be beautiful, yet feeling somehow like we were never good enough, and how the focus on how we looked really seemed to overshadow our hopes, dreams, and aspirations for the future. While some things have changed for the better since then, some things have unfortunately been sliding backwards, including women's rights being in jeopardy in the U.S. where I'm from. Also, I often contemplate how many people are depressed from using social media, including viewing ads that are directed at us, often preying on our insecurities. The fact that the beauty and plastic surgery industries generate billions of dollars per year show to me that we can still suffer from these nagging insecurities, mostly pushed on us by society. The following is an experimental piece I created inspired by these thoughts, including some sound bites from vintage TV classics. While watching these shows gives me a comforting and nostalgic feeling since I watched them as a child, it also points out to me the blatant sexism and inequality at the time. I've also included some recordings of ads directed at me on social media, designed to make us feel as if we were never youthful or beautiful or thin enough, really driving home to me the fact that in this way, perhaps, unfortunately, everything old is new again.
Tappa, 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 tappa. tappa tappa tappa, 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 tappa tappa.
I came to the conclusion of radical changes. Lori, I am a normal, everyday husband who wants his meals on the table in his home. I want my wife there to be with, to talk to, and to enjoy. I want a normal wedding. Not a working party.
Well, I think we can discuss it calmly.
Discuss? Enough discussion! I want you to quit your job. I want you home. I want us to have a child.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Yeah, this should be a lot.
You were gonna say that there should be a law and the girl shouldn't be so stupid.
No, I was not, but it's whatever. I vote for it. There's no.
Respect before. probably right. All you have to do is show up. You'll clean me and I plan it.
I'm never going to get through to you. I just competed with you on your own terms. And you're still being a chauvinist. Oh, I don't know why I bother. It's always going to be the same.
Hey, I thought you were fighting.
I am a fighter. I fought my way through beauty contests and network brass. And I finally got what I wanted. But guess what? I never wanted
to do this shit without you. Okay, see, I'm about to strike a blow for all women everywhere. I'll see you later.
At-home microneedling you can do.
Now, if you insist on doing this at home,
and in just 2 weeks, I started twisting. Huge.
And honestly, I get it. I don't love my concealer, but at the same time, I have dark,
Real quickly, from me mixing oil.
That was Everything Old is New Again, produced by DJ Supergen, who can also be heard hosting More Noise Please every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. right here on Met Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out the work of our 2025 Radio Challenge producers. Another huge congratulations to everyone who participated, and thank you also to our event prize sponsors, Hindenburg, Long & McQuaid, and Cops Records. If you want to hear the top three Radio Challenge winners, you can find a full playlist on the Met Radio SoundCloud account and our website, metradio.ca. We'll also be playing them for a few times throughout the week on air, so please be sure to keep your dial tuned to Met Radio 1280 AM in Toronto.